Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without fingersticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
From the Abraham Lincoln Radio Studio at the George Washington Broadcast Center,
Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
His meeting has been widely condemned by the Anti-Defamation League, by the White House. The man who served as the ambassador to Israel under President Trump said in a statement, quote, "To my friend Donald Trump, you are better than this. Even a social visit from an anti-Semite like Kanye West and human scum like Nick Fuentes is unacceptable."
Human scum. If you've read any of Nick Fuentes, who I don't know, I didn't know who he was until a couple of days ago. I think I'd heard the name, I suppose, but I'd never spend any time. Trump had dinner at his golf club. Kanye just kind of like announced he was coming, right? Is that the way it went down?
I'm told by Trump's people that the dinner was actually scheduled prior to Kanye's recent anti-Semitic rants.
Okay. Dinner table events.
And then Kanye shows up with this other dude who Trump claims, "I didn't know he was coming. I didn't know who he was," which I believe. But you did know who Kanye was, and you willingly sat down with him, which is not the greatest judgment if you want to win a general election.
Right.
Anyway, this Nick Fuentes guy says all kinds of crazy, stupid crap that he should have no voice or megaphone of any kind. And is a bad guy. And an actual anti-Semite. I mean, that seems to be his actual worldview. I don't know that Kanye actually believes it. I don't know if he's with it enough to even understand what he's doing.
Yeah, Kanye is mentally ill. He has bought the Louis Farrakhan line that the blacks are the real Jews, the Jews are fake Jews, the Jews are ruling the world even though they're not Jews and holding everybody down. I mean, it's ridiculous filth, but there are a certain number of people who believe it, and it's been part of the black liberation theology on one side of that aisle for a long time. I mentioned Louis Farrakhan. He's been preaching this crap for generations.
But the lefty media, MSNBC and CNN, for instance, on the cable news channels, this has been their number one story since whenever it happened last week, every day.
Oh, yeah.
Then half the show is about this, and they'd love it so much for a variety of reasons, including, I guess, that you get more ratings when you talk about hating on Trump.
That's the only time they've gotten ratings, really. They're desperate for it to come back.
How big a deal it is, I don't know. I mentioned one prominent talk show host who was still with Trump up until a couple of days ago, Jewish fellow. Sid Rosen of New York, said this was too much for me. So, I don't know. Is it another straw on the camel's back for some of y'all? I don't know. I mean, like, my focus group of some friends and family members I know had turned on Trump after the midterms. Maybe you had continued to stick by Trump. Was this, and not so much that you think, I don't think Trump's an anti-Semite. But I think he is trying to play to that crowd. Like, he feels like he needs, you really think, Donald Trump, there's a bigger chunk of people that are with you on the Kanye stuff than there are other people turned off by you who think you can't win a general election with this?
I don't think Trump's that analytical.
You don't think so?
No, he's constantly talking about how he goes with his gut, and I think I take him at his word. I just think he goes with what pleases crowds and what gets him more adulation.
Anyway, I was reading Jonah Goldberg, who is a writer and really hates Trump. So he got, you know, comes from that perspective. But he said he feels like watching some Trump loyalists come out pretty harshly against the dinner, that it's like the Bill Clinton, Mark Rich pardon thing. That was like the last straw for a lot of Clintonites, was just like, all right, whatever. You're going to freaking pardon this guy. I'm done with you. That there's that may be like that with Trump. I don't know. You know, everybody's different.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, time will tell. Time will tell. You know, I think Trump likes hanging out with Kanye because he's a black man who is in favor of Trump. And he's a giant celebrity. And Trump is his entire career. He's loved hanging out with celebrities. His office, if you have ever seen it, is lined with pictures of him with big names. So I think that's about as far as that goes. But Kanye is an immensely creative guy, but I think he has some serious mental illness problems. He was talking to Tim Pool, if you know his act, podcaster, commentator. And at the beginning of the discussion, Yee revealed that his meeting with Trump was scheduled before the DEFCON 3 tweet, but was delayed. He claimed the former president had no idea who Fuentes was. And that's fair enough. It's really incautious of Trump to just dine with whoever shows up. But, you know, that's part of his charm. He's not a guarded, groomed, spun, and polished politician.
Yeah. Yeah.
Much more raw and natural, you know, for better or worse.
Yeah, he was not focus grouped, no doubt about it.
Yeah, I get that part of the appeal. Yeah. But then... But then Tim Pool just wanted to ask him about the whole anti-Semitic stuff. And Kanye's answers, if you've ever dealt with somebody schizophrenic, I think you're going to recognize the cadence of it.
I also have some pushback against my own argument that Trump uniquely has a problem winning a general election as a Republican. It ain't just Trump. And it's pretty good logic. So stay tuned for that.
Okay, I am intrigued. Here's an intriguing point. Well, it's more angering than intriguing. Over the holiday season, people are shopping. They're buying presents for each other. It's fabulous. Well, burglaries and package theft spike nationally. That's why our friends at Simply Safe Home Security are offering 50% off their award-winning security system so that more families can feel safe and secure this holiday season. The best home security system of 2022, ranked by U.S. News and World Report, and for good reason.
If nothing else, you need to have all those cameras so you can become a Vine or a meme or a TikTok or something like that when you slip or your dog does something funny in the backyard or whatever. It'd be good to have all the cameras for that, right?
Or you punch a package thief in the head.
Best home security system of 2022 by U.S. News and World Report. A third year in a row. 24/7 professional monitoring. All kinds of great stuff. The HD security cameras inside and out. Hazard sensors that detect fires, floods, and other threats to your home, including catching porch pirates.
And they use proprietary technology to make sure you get priority police response. It's really cool. You can learn more about it at the website. Oh, and the 24/7 professionally monitoring service costs under a buck a day. Go to simplysafe.com/armstrong. Save 50% off any new system. 50%. Simplysafe.com/armstrong. Simplysafe.com/armstrong. There's no safe like Simply Safe. All right. So here's Kanye talking to Tim Pool, podcaster. Let's see. So, he asks him, He says, what's that whole DEFCON 3? I mean, what do you believe? What do you not? Kanye says, I just got to go right to the heart of this anti-Semite claim that's happening. This is something, if you read the definition, it says you can't claim that there's multiple people inside of banks or in media that are all Jewish or you're anti-Semitic. And that's the truth. Like, it's the truth. Okay, elaborate. Like, what do you mean, Poole asked? I'm saying, like, I've been labeled anti-Semite, right? So there's different beliefs about our bloodlines, you know, like the documentary that Kyrie Irving posted. And in general, America's been left ignorant and history has been changed. So when we start questioning things that question the indoctrination, then you immediately get, you know, demonized, demonetized. And what's so beautiful about this time is everybody got to see what's really been happening. And I thought, okay, that's pretty good. I mean, other than the Kyrie Irving documentary, which was anti-Semitic crap, the idea of once you question the accepted doctrine, they go after you, that's true. So I'm not sure where this is going, but I'm hanging with you, Kanye. And then he says, and now we can really understand. We can see that Rahm Emanuel was next to Obama and Jared Kushner was right next to Trump. And Poole's like, whoa, wait a minute. Isn't that an issue of these individuals rather than the fact that they're Jewish? The rapper continued with his stream of consciousness. Quote, Poole said you went right into the anti-Semite thing. I think it's something that should be talked about. But if you start bringing this up and you're going to ask my opinion, I got to disagree with you. I didn't ask your opinion, ye fired back. I don't care about anybody's opinion, bro. I lost. They tried to put me in jail. They blocked the $2 billion I had. Like when I told Louis Farrakhan the Jewish people allowed Obama to meet with the minister, you know, you're not going to take away my pain, right? Right? The Jewish people say it's the Holocaust. This happened, and you can't say anything about it. We can't take their pain away. No one's going to denounce the fact that they tried to lock me up, because every time I'm just holding stride, and it's like I thought it was more Malcolm X, but I find out more I'm MLK, because as I'm getting hosed down every day by the press, and financially I'm just standing there. And when I found out they tried to put me in jail, it was like a dog was biting my arm, and I almost shed a tear, almost, but I still walked in stride through it.
Who's trying to put him in jail?
I don't know. I think the Jews?
For what? Put him in jail for what?
Speaking out about who's the real black people? Just that whole... I'm sorry, who's the real Jewish people?
I'll tell you what, The College Dropout's a good album. Regardless. Title? Regardless.
Is that one of his albums?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know that. Sorry. Let's see.
I didn't know it either. I just got into the Kanye thing recently. I was trying to figure out what his music is all about because he's a gazillionaire.
Yeah.
And Chappelle mentioned that album, and I thought, okay, that's where I'm going to start. And I've been listening to it, and it is really something. I mean, it is very thought provoking, musically really really good. But he's also a crazy person.
Oh yeah, a lot of great artists have been. So anyway, Poole says, I think they've been extremely unfair to you. Who is they though? Ye said we can't say who they is, can we? The press, Poole clarified. I didn't use the word as the way I guess you guys use. I'm talking about, it is them, though, isn't it? Fuentes chimed in. No, Poole responded quickly, as in the Jews. What do you mean it's not? Ye snapped. As Poole attempted to respond, the rapper stood up and began walking out of the room. You're leaving? Poole asked as Ye stormed out. He's gone. Let's see. And then Poole started railing against Yee's posse. You guys want to bring that stuff up and think we're not going to have a conversation? You think Yee's going to come in here and say, here's my pain, here's my suffering, and I say, I hear you. And then he's going to say, and it was the Jewish people, and I'm going to be like, okay, but I'm not going to do this. I refuse.
Good for him. Yeah. I don't really know his act, but good for him.
Yeah, he's a super smart guy, really interesting. You know, I disagree with him sometimes, but... And I couldn't even tell you the percentage of the time. There are too many people talking these days.
Kanye's...
It used to be there were like three people in the news. One I agree with, one I disagree with, one I'm still thinking about.
There are too many people talking these days.
Point of order.
Point of order.
Old man yells at cloud. Oh, my God. There are too many people talking these days. Kanye's thoughts don't hold together. They just
That's
don't.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
They just don't.
I think he, how old is he? Is he like 30 barely or
early
something?
Early 40s, I think. Can you look that up? Can somebody look up how old Kanye West is?
Because generally schizophrenia hits in the late teens and 20s. It could be he has a different problem. Maybe it's a bipolar disorder like he's talked about. But I don't know. I don't. I feel no need to ruin Kanye.
No.
As much as I find anti-Semitism repugnant, he's a guy with mental illness.
No, the only thing that makes this newsworthy is the former president who's running again had right. dinner with him the other night. And is that a good idea if you want to be elected president again? That's the only thing that makes it worth discussing to me.
Clearly, no. It's a terrible idea.
How old is he, Michael?
45 years old.
There you go.
Okay. There you go. He's much older than I thought. He's been omnipresent for most of our lives.
If you think Trump going away, though, would end a lot of the hysteria, you're wrong. And then we'll be done talking about Trump. All right. I'll just hit you with this when we come back.
Armstrong and Getty. The Armstrong and Getty Show.
I have been waiting decades to do what I'm getting ready to do now. When I was 14 years old, every day I used to stop here at this 7-Eleven and steal a king-size Snicker bar because I couldn't afford to buy one. That was my pre-workout food. I did that for almost a year every day. I had to come back and buy every Snickers bar on those shelves.
Ring all these up. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. I'm going to leave these here. If somebody looks like they're stealing Snickers, give them these so they don't steal it. Thank you.
After decades of me wanting to come back home to 7-Eleven and try and make good, that felt really, really good.
That was supposed to be cute and endearing. I found it perverse and troubling in several different ways.
Why? Why?
That's bizarre. So he stole for a year hundreds of candy bars. So now to make amends, he's just going to do what you're supposed to do. He buys them. And then what? He's going to give them away? What? How does that make amends to the store owner who he ripped off? All it's doing is it's giving free stuff to people who are going to steal. That's bizarre.
I thought the overall point was to acknowledge that you were you did something wrong and you're now a better person. I think wasn't that the point? No,
went about it poorly. That's The Rock, huh?
The Rock. Yeah, my kids really like The Rock and his various kid movies. They're really
well,
big fans.
He'll never be president with his history of rampant Snickers theft.
We got this text about Trump meeting with Ye. And it was basically what you were saying earlier. So you're friends with somebody and you know they're struggling mentally and they want to have dinner with you. You turn them down? That's probably the way Trump was looking at it.
That's a fair point. It's not a cautious presidential candidate, which is fine with me. Look who Kanye's tagging along with, though.
Yeah. So I came across this. I don't know who this person was, but I just thought it was an interesting point and something we all ought to be aware of and think about. Trump was a uniquely polarizing figure, but I suspect we're overrating his personal characteristics and explaining the hysteria that has gripped professional class liberals during his presidency. It's not just him. He was the first Republican president in the age of social media, post-Great Awakening. I think any future Republican president, whether a culture warrior like DeSantis or an inoffensive executive type like Youngkin, will provoke much the same response, including tremendous pressure on mainstream institutions to validate the latest social media-generated moral panic over everything they do. It's not like the early 20s support staff at major newspapers, magazines, tech companies, and publishing houses, or the students at universities and law schools are going to be more reasonable by 2028. And I think that's an excellent point.
Ding!
We're into a new era of the Great Awakening and social media hysteria, no matter who the Republican is. Even if they're a Mitt Romney milquetoast Republican, it is going to be an epic panic over every decision or policy they talk about.
Right. They're going to put you all back on the plantation. It's going to be the Handmaid's Tale, whatever.
Yeah. I'll bet that's fairly
Hitler.
I'll bet that's fairly true. Yeah, you're the new Hitler.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's going to be a lot of that.
Yeah. And of course, every Republican is a racist. We can just assume that. Even the huge influx of black and Hispanic Republicans, they're racists too. Or they've internalized white supremacy or something.
Or something. Steve Kerr, coach of the Golden State Warriors, said something about the United States and China. We've got to get to that. Made me so freaking mad. I'm a big Warriors fan, but it makes it hard to watch. If you miss an hour of the show, grab the podcast Armstrong and Getty On Demand.
and Getty.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
Will Smith's all over the place. We got a little bit of him on, I guess, Trevor Noah last night. He's on the CBS Early Show this morning trying to rehabilitate his image before this giant, expensive Apple movie about slavery or something comes out.
That he's in, I presume?
Yeah. He's
okay.
And I'm mildly interested in whether he can turn around my distaste for him, because right now I'm like, I just don't ever want to see or hear from you again, dude. Go away. But not important. This kind of is. It's sports, but politics intermingling the way we do in the modern world. Steve Kerr, coach of the Golden State Warriors, the most successful NBA team of the last decade. And his dad was an ambassador who was killed, or is that what it was?
Correct, yeah. He was assassinated in, was it Lebanon?
But so he's unlike just, you know, a lot of the people that were only on the jock path his whole life, he was on more of a paying attention international news path as a young man. Mm-hmm. And is more thoughtful than a lot of your athletes are about the world, who only want the latest Lamborghini and some hot chicks. He's not really that kind. But I hate his politics so much. It's really hard to watch his team. And he was asked about China and the protests going on over there and that sort of stuff in one of the post games the other day.
It has not come up in terms of people asking me about it, people discussing it. No. Nor has our record of human rights abuses come up either. People in China didn't ask me about, people owning AR-15s and mowing each other down in a mall. I wasn't asked that question. The world is a complex place, and there's more gray than black and white.
So the idea was...
Wow, well, hang on now. Gray and black and white. Let's start with slavery. Is that gray or black and white? Because they got millions of them.
Because China's currently the biggest slave-holding country on planet Earth. By a lot! Is that a gray area? That's a good one. That's a good one right there from Joe Getty. Is that a gray area?
And it's not like the government, under a great deal of angst and disagreement and anger, grudgingly permits slavery by private places, private people in limited places 150 years ago. The government itself owns the slaves today, Steve.
Yeah, that whole moral equivalency game is just so off-putting to me.
Yeah, and what's interesting, this is a perfect case study. I think Steve Kerr is a bright guy. I don't know how bright, but he's a pretty bright guy. I also think he is a decent human being who wants to do and say the right things. I just think he's completely misguided.
Yeah, well, I know people that I pretty sure have very, very high IQs who feel the same way as him. So, yeah, it's not, the brain power is not necessarily the problem. It's just such a wacky worldview to me.
Yeah, yeah. Because we have troubled, loser, angry idiots who hurt other people to express their anger, that removes our ability to express a desire for humans to be free? Good Lord. You know, I've been reading a lot about forgiveness and grace and that sort of thing, and Jesus saying to the those who wanted to stone the woman who was caught committing adultery, you know, let he who is without sin cast the first stone, roughly, depending on your favorite translation. This is exactly the opposite. This is not someone claiming to be pure trying to punish. This is someone saying, we have made mistakes. We have oppressed people. We must make it our eternal mission to free people from oppression. Steve Kerr, that's exactly the opposite.
Well, I grabbed that clip from Tucker Carlson last night. Tucker's assumption was that because the NBA is so heavily invested in China financially, that it's just part of the whole NBA thing where they never badmouth China. It might be as simple as that. But that worldview of until we can craft the perfect society, you can't complain about China mass raping women in an effort to commit a genocide? What?
We could go through the list of sins. That's literally what they're doing, so that they thin the bloodlines. They have completely quashed any right of assembly, of free speech, of dissent. They have slaves. They torture people. They beat people for speaking their minds. They lock them in their apartments for months at a time, so that the crazed dictator won't look bad, having tied himself personally to the zero COVID policy. Steve, they're a gigantic, loathsome oppressor of humankind. We're flawed, yeah, but we're trying as hard as we can. You can't see that difference? Ideology trumps intelligence all the time. And it's crazy to watch.
And they want to take over the world and let us all live that way.
Yeah. Yeah, and brutalize the entirety of humanity, Steve.
Yeah, that's an interesting way to look at things. Wow. Sickened by that is where I am.
Coming up, I got to slip this in. What if there were a nation of almost 12 million people just a few miles off our shore that was falling apart completely? And millions of those people are going to try as hard as they can to sneak into the United States. Well, luckily, we have a great secure border, according to the president. But if for instance, we had a wide open southern border, get ready for millions of people to walk in soon. I'll explain. Stay with us.
Elon Musk tweeted this. Just a note, to encourage people of different political or other views to engage in civil debate on Twitter. Good luck with that, Elon. I hope that works. I'm all for it, too. He said, worst case, the other side has a slightly better understanding of your views. I agree with you 1,000%, but that ain't what Twitter is. I mean, you're going to have to really change. You're going to have to turn, like, it's like buying Applebee's and turning it into a yoga studio. I mean, it's just, it's a completely different thing if you're going to go with the whole encouraging people of different political views to engage in civil debate.
I think you're going to have to, like, go CRISPR and edit the genes of all of humanity to get that result,
yeah,
Elon.
No,
I mean, I'm with you, but good luck.
Yeah, no kidding. He's and he also asked last weekend, should Twitter offer a general amnesty to suspended accounts? And a whole bunch of suspended accounts are now back because people voted on Twitter, 72% to 28%. So like three quarters of people thought, let the suspended accounts back on, which I think is pretty interesting because Twitter's mostly left. And a whole bunch of people got back on, like Tucker Carlson's back on, James Lindsay's back on, Trump's back on. But anyway, so Elon Musk put, the people have spoken, amnesty begins next week, now this week. Vox Populi, Vox Dei? I don't speak anything but barely English. What does that mean?
The voice of the people is the voice of God.
Huh. Good one.
Or something similar.
Elon religious at all? I don't know anything about his. I'm guessing not.
Guessing by his activities, siring children? No.
Siring children.
You know, I was just reading about, and I'm a fan of him as an entrepreneur and innovator. Personally, the way he behaves, I'm not a big fan of, but you know. But his boring company that pledged to dig those tunnels and have hyperloops and stuff like that, I was just reading how they've ghosted several cities. And it's just, he needs to have the guts to stand up and say, this didn't work, or it didn't work the way I thought it would. I'm either shutting it down or it's a disappointment, but we tried and we failed. And that's part of success, is trying and failing. But that whole thing is now just kind of silly.
Really? That's interesting.
The only one of those that's functioning is in Las Vegas, where you go down into the tunnel and people drive you back and forth in Teslas at 30 miles per hour.
Oh, really?
That's not a joke. That's actually what happened.
It's kind of interesting because I was at the Peterson Auto Museum in Los Angeles last week, which I'd never heard of. We pulled up to it, and my son said, oh, my God, Dad, this is the museum we're going to. I guess it's world famous and the best car museum in the world, and he'd seen it on all his favorite car shows, and he was vibrating with excitement that we were going to this car museum, which turned out to be insanely cool. I mean, it was very, very, very cool. But the Tesla display, which is the front, you have to walk through the Tesla display to get to everything else, was enormous, and I can't imagine how much Elon paid or donated or whatever to get that going. But it included a big display of the Boring Company claiming that in 2022 we've accomplished this or that. And it had a simulator of pretty large size to let you know how it worked. And my kids were really interested. Well, Henry was interested. Sam hates the whole electric car thing so much. But Henry was interested in it with me about how transporting people underground. But you're thinking it's dead, that whole thing?
Yeah, it's more or less dead. Yeah, he's ghosted several cities that he said, hey, don't build your above ground light rail from, say, O'Hare Airport to some transportation hub or downtown Chicago. I can't remember exactly what. We're going to give you a bid. We will revolutionize it. It will be less expensive. It will decrease traffic, the soul deadening traffic. And Chicago's like, yes, please. And then the next year when it's time to make a bid, they're just like, yeah, never mind.
So not only did they have, like, the first car ever made and a whole bunch of Lamborghinis and Bugattis and all these different sorts of things, they have, I think, the largest collection of famous cars from TVs and movies, TV shows and movies there. Mm. What was my favorite car? The only one I got my picture taken next to. You'd have to be roughly my age to probably guess.
The General Lee from the Dukes of Hazzard, because you're a racist.
What's your guess, Michael?
That's what I was going to guess,
okay,
actually.
No,
the inevitable Batmobile.
No, please. They didn't have a Batmobile. Huh. The car from Starsky and Hutch. I wanted that car so bad when I was a kid. The Gran Torino that was red with the white stripe. Oh my God! I took a picture of that and texted it to my brother. I was so thrilled with getting to see that in person.
We weren't allowed to watch gritty cop shows when that show was on the air.
They weren't that gritty. I can understand why your parents would not want you to watch them, because there'd be the chance it would be gritty. They weren't very gritty.
By today's standards.
they're hilarious comedies by today's standards.
Although we did watch Kojak, which was frequently fairly violent.
Same genre.
Gritty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just saw
Telly Savalas, who loves you, baby.
I gotta let this go. The economic reporting about Black Friday. I gotta let it go. It's kind of sticking in my craw, but I got one example. Maybe next hour I'll get to.
And What's happening in Haiti? It's probably not on your radar. It ought to be. Holy crap.
Well, I don't know.
A country is falling apart, and it's right over there.
I don't know anything about this. I will stay tuned.
Armstrong and Getty.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
The most politically charged World Cup soccer match in recent World Cup history happening today between the United States and Iran.
Yeah, yeah. Ooh,
about
must
2 hours
for
away.
Freedom!
I will not watch because soccer bores me, but I will read about it.
Wow. Jack unwilling to support his country would be a good title for this section of the podcast.
Gotta admit, I don't care at all whether we win or lose.
What? We're going up there. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Please. I need a new job. I'm quitting. I'm resigning. Or you're fired or something. So when the Americans beat the Soviets, the miracle on ice, you're like, I'm not a big hockey fan. I don't care. I don't care about evil empires and nuclear holocaust. To hell with America. Signed, Jack Armstrong. I think that's a fair characterization.
I was thrilled by that one, but I'm not sure in this one whether Iran winning would be good for their country or bad for their country, actually.
Yeah, the domestic reaction could be interesting and complicated. Right. Yeah, and granted, if the U.S. was going up against Russia, like right now, in some sort of international paint-drying contest, I'm not sure. Well, I'd be that into it.
The idea with us taking on the Soviet hockey team was, is your system better than our system? Was really for real on the table. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we're looking at the soccer match today that way, are we?
No, nobody thinks Iran's system is worth a mess. And I almost said the word. And I wish I had. Anyway, we need to talk about not that poo hole, but a different one.
Oh, yeah. S-hole countries in the news.
That's right. So there is a push by U.S. officials to send in a multinational force to Haiti. And you're thinking, wait a minute, more foreign adventurism, blah, blah, blah. Listen to this, would you? Haiti, and then I'll get to the, you know, why it's a really troubling idea might be necessary. Anyway, Haiti is in the midst of a humanitarian disaster. Gang warfare has deepened since the assassination of the president last summer. Do you remember that? Hunger is intensified. Cholera is spreading, as it has before, partly because armed groups are preventing doctors from providing care. The New York Times talked to this the Bureau, Times Bureau chief from Mexico and the Caribbean, who reports from Haiti. Criminal organizations seem out of control much of Haiti. How'd they take over? Gangs have been around in Haiti for decades, but they became particularly brazen after the assassination. A new prime minister took over, but he was never confirmed by the parliament. A lot of people view him as illegitimate. The institutions of the country were gutted. The gangs have stepped into the power vacuum, and the state has lost its ability to secure the most basic arteries in the country. Can you explain how life in Haiti has deteriorated since the gangs took over? To understand the current situation, we look at two major events. In July, rival gangs fought over control of Cité Soleil, the largest slum in Haiti where about 300,000 people live. A war broke out between them that lasted for about a week and resulted in hundreds of deaths. Gang members burned down entire neighborhoods. Women were raped as a tool of war. It was horrific. Thousands of people fled the slum, and many of them have been living as refugees elsewhere in Port-au-Prince, the capital. A few months later, the prime minister raised the price of fuel, which sparked protests that plunged Haiti into near anarchy, and one of the gangs blocked the port through which most of the fuel comes to the country. Why does that matter? Well, Haiti doesn't have a functional electrical grid, so everything runs on diesel generators. Can you imagine the filth? Oh, when there's no fuel, it impacts almost everything. Gas stations closed, no trash collection, piling up in slums. The water utility lost its ability to pump it off water. Aid workers couldn't bring in water to areas blocked by gangs, which was a major contributor to the cholera outbreak. Complete dysfunction, chaos, and anarchy, except in the areas where the brutal raping gangs are in control.
Wow. I regularly say this. The thing you should be most thankful for is that you were born in this country, or you live here now. Gosh. If you weren't born in this country.
Yeah, yeah. So now, fearing the humanitarian crisis engulfing Haiti could spur mass migration to the U.S. and others, and elsewhere, rather, some top Biden administration officials are pushing to send a multinational armed force to the country. Several current and former officials say after the Haitian government made an appeal for such an intervention last month. The U.S. doesn't want its own troops included in that force, even though officials fear that the tumult in Haiti will send an even bigger wave of migration to American shores. So, with all due respect to the difficulty of the situation, and it is very difficult, they're starting to float trial balloons or run ideas up the flagpole. There needs to be a multinational force. This is the Biden administration. Go into Haiti and restore order. Fight all the gangs street to street, but no American troops, because that would be insane. But you other countries really ought to send some troops in.
Wow.
I mean, it would be Black Hawk Down like every other day,
yeah.
I would think.
Yeah, yeah.
Otherwise, you have to invade the country with a giant show of force. When UN peacekeepers were last stationed in Haiti in 2010, they brought cholera to the country, causing one of the worst outbreaks in modern times. Nearly 10,000 Haitians died, and respect for the UN in Haiti was forever destroyed, according to the UN Secretary General at the time. Now, the Biden administration is encountering resistance to rallying a multinational force, including from American military leaders who do not want to be drawn into a mission that would require a significant amount of time and resource, et cetera, et cetera. So the situation is you have a crumbling country of 13.5 million people a few miles off of our shores, and you're going to see a massive exodus any day now toward an open southern border.
Mm.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Jeez. Why do we have more road deaths than practically any country in the world? Will Smith finally speaks out about the slap. A bunch of different things we can talk about in hour four. If you don't get hour four, one, it's a shame. Two, you can get it through podcast. Armstrong and Getty On Demand. That's what you look for. Armstrong and Getty On Demand.
Armstrong and Getty.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.